Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. My name's Thomas, and I'm your host. Thank you for tuning into the podcast tonight. Now, the holiday season is very much upon us. However you choose to spend it or celebrate it, I hope it brings you happiness and inner peace. And it's a time of year, of course, where a lot of us are travelling about and celebrating with family and friends far and wide. But it's important that we don't forget to prioritise sleep. It does help with just about everything in life. Stress management and physical health, relationships, emotional receptivity. All of those things are certainly enhanced or improved by a good night's sleep. So I encourage you to download a couple of our podcast episodes, so you're always just a click away from a good night's sleep. And of course, if you're enjoying the podcast, please let us know by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's really appreciated. Now, tonight's story has a cozy, wintry feel to it, so I'm sure you'll enjoy it, especially at this time of year. But before we get there, let's just begin by taking some deep breaths, breathing in, holding at the top just for a moment before you release the air back out. And if you have any tension in your shoulders, just squeeze them up to your neck as you breathe in and hold them there for just a moment, and then release as you breathe out. Feel that tension dispersing and fading away. And as you do this, I'd like you to just mentally repeat each line I'm about to say. I'm relaxing my feet. My feet are completely relaxed. I'm relaxing my legs. My legs are completely relaxed. I'm relaxing my hips. My hips are completely relaxed. I'm relaxing my back. My back is completely relaxed. I'm relaxing my chest. My chest is completely relaxed. I'm relaxing my arms. My arms are completely relaxed. I'm relaxing my head. My head is completely relaxed. Now for tonight's story, narrated by the sleepy tones of Abby Offer. It's called The Night Train. Let your mind drift to a place with green hills and wide old trees clustered into thick woods. Pathways crisscross over gentle streams through the lush landscape. This is where our story begins.
Jake stood at the fork in the path. His pack was heavy. He could feel the weight of the thick straps tracing a line over his shoulders and pulling them down. His back was tired from carrying the camping stove, the tent, the sleeping bag, the warm fleece jacket, the bags of dehydrated food. Even the water bottle seemed to weigh more than it should. In this moment, he wanted nothing more than to undo the waistband and finally set the giant backpack down. Take a nice long rest. But he couldn't do that just yet, for one very inconvenient reason. Somewhere back there on the trail, Jake took a wrong turn. And now he found himself lost. It wasn't the worst thing to be lost out here. It's one of the reasons he chose this particular route. He first heard about it in the brochure he picked up last year at the state park. This trail promised easy ambles over a gentle landscape. He remembered the words, chuckling to himself. Easy ambles wasn't quite how he'd describe it. It also said he would see small, picturesque towns and rolling hills dappled with late afternoon sunlight. There would even be little detours he could take each night, conveniently leading to some nice warm supper and even a soft bed if he didn't feel like pitching a tent. Those last parts were true, for the most part. He did see picturesque towns, quite a few of them actually. And he did manage to find a few cozy little spots to eat. Really, it had been a pretty comfortable hike so far, he supposed. Before he left, Jake packed all the essentials. He got new hiking boots and wore them around so his feet wouldn't hurt on the trail. It took a while to get used to the high tops, which held his ankles snug. He got a new backpack in the recommended size for the length of his trip, which he wore round the house to get used to how it felt. It was a strange feeling for him. He'd never really had to carry around anything he'd need to survive before. But now, on the trail, he also felt the weight of food and water, soap and shampoo. Even his fork made a difference in this pack. To be honest, Jake had admitted to himself in those early moments of planning, he had no idea what he was doing. But it was for precisely that reason that he was determined to do it. People hiked. Other people hiked. Jake didn't hike. But after this trip, Jake would be a hiker. It was new and exciting, and he was going to give it his best shot. It all went pretty smoothly for the first 60 miles or so. Sure, his feet hurt a little. He could feel the muscles working in places he didn't even know he had muscles. He was out in the wild. The air was fresh. He was alive and at peace, far from his computer and cubicle. Every morning on the trail, he'd wake up to the sound of birds twittering in the trees. He lay there in his tent as the sun began to cast a glow around his blue nylon walls. The sound of birds filling the morning air. He wondered if the birds did this every morning or if they were putting on a show just for him. He unzipped the large flap on the side of his tent and took in the cool morning air. Every leaf sparkled with drops of morning dew. He took particular delight in gently nudging the tip of each tiny green leaf and watching the droplets roll off the end and plunk softly into the grass at his feet. Morning smelled different out here. It smelled of freshly turned earth, of trees and green living things. It was positively exhilarating, yet calming. Every cell of his body relaxed in contentment. It was a brisk morning. He reached down into his bag and pulled out his fleece sweater, which was always so warm and snug. He tucked himself deeper into the sweater, so the collar was nearly up to his ears. It probably looked a bit funny, but it was extremely cozy on this crisp morning. Then he made himself a cup of coffee in the little silver tin pot on his portable camping stove. He loved the sound his enamel mug made when the little tin pot clinked against it ever so slightly, and the smell of fresh brewed coffee was so deliciously comforting out here in the wild. Out here, the road was always at least a half a mile away at any given time. Sometimes you could hear traffic off in the distance, but not now. You could never be quite sure how long it would take you to get to the next little town. Sometimes it would take a few hours. Sometimes it would take a day or two. Everything was going great. But then he hit the 60-mile mark. Now, that was already farther than Jake ever expected to walk. But for some reason, at that point, things started to go wrong. He got stuck in a rainstorm that made his boots soggy. He had to dry them out over a fire, which worked, but he would have preferred to just have dry boots. Then he dropped some of his food in the river. It was a bit embarrassing, really, just a clumsy accident. But it seemed things were just not running as smoothly as before. And now it was the end of a long day. Jake was tired, and no matter how hard he looked at his map, he couldn't quite place where he was. He saw a little green dot next to what looked like maybe a bunch of black squiggles. He thought that might be where he was, but he couldn't be sure unless he got off the trail and found a road or a landmark, anything at all. So that's what he decided to do. His pack was heavy, but night was on its way. So he'd go left, off the trail by the dots and squiggles. Only about a third of a mile away, there should be some kind of something. At least there was a box that looked like it could be a house or a restaurant on his map. Anything would do. He adjusted the backpack, hopped a little to get it to sit right on his shoulders, and set off. This little offshoot of the main path wasn't quite like anything he'd been on so far. Instead of being just worn track, dotted with pebbles and gnarled tree roots, this path was lined with small white rocks. It was a deliberate path, leading him to where he needed to go. As he walked, he took in the sounds around him. A squirrel fussed with a nut near the base of a large tree. A woodpecker gently tapped its beak into the trunk above. He could hear crickets whistling gently from the underbrush. And then, off in the distance, he heard a sound he hadn't heard in a long, long while. It was another whistle, a sharp, clear sound that cut through the gentle noises around him. A train, that's what it was. But there weren't any trains around here, he thought. There were no tracks on the map, and he didn't recall seeing any stations in any of the previous towns. Strange, perhaps. But maybe they'd have a coffee shop at the train station, and he could get a nice hot chocolate. He picked up his pace. He could practically smell the hot chocolate calling him ahead. Just around the next bend, he saw the outline of a train station. Curious, he thought to himself. It was in the middle of the woods. He should have crossed the road by now. But no matter. The train station was here, and it was the most beautiful station Jake had ever seen before. The walls were carved of terracotta and marble, and the entrance was covered in elaborate golden vines. The doors were made of heavy oak, and swung easy on their hinges, despite their weight. And stepping inside, Jake saw the most beautiful, most glorious, most absolutely perfect old steam train. Its front was black and imposing, but edged with a shiny gold rim. Behind were cherry red cars, each sporting cherry red plush seats for riders to relax while peering out behind thick glass windows. The second car bore a name in elegant gold writing, the night train. All aboard, the conductor called out. He smiled at Jake. Jake looked around the station and realized there was nobody else to be seen. Just him and the conductor and this mysterious night train. The conductor smiled at Jake, and from his breast pocket he pulled out a single ticket. He handed it to Jake. "One ride, one night only," it read. "For me?" Jake asked. The conductor nodded and motioned for him to get on board. Well, he was tired and really wanted some cocoa, and he didn't have many options at this point. So why not, he thought. And with that, he climbed aboard the night train. Its whistle sounded, and it chugged away from the station. The night train was unlike anything Jake had ever seen before. First of all, it was even more beautiful on the inside than it was on the outside. The floor was covered in thick, soft carpet in that same deep cherry red. To his right was a luggage closet. He hefted off his pack and placed it inside. As the weight lifted, so did his shoulders. He felt lighter, like a feather, and smiled. For the first time, he noticed the gentle rocking of the train, back and forth, back and forth. It was relaxing, he thought. In front of him was a shoe rack lined with sneakers, boots, and sandals. He took off his boots and felt his feet sink into the deep pile of the carpet. He wiggled his toes. Perfect. A little way down from the shoe rack was something even more curious. It was a deep shelf lined with pillows in crisp white pillowcases. There were pillows of all shapes and sizes. Some were flat and firm. Others billowed out like marshmallows, soft and supple. There were square pillows with a bit of bounce and long ones that conformed to the shape of your body. Above the pillows hung a sign, "Pick one or two or whatever makes you truly comfortable," it read. He picked out a medium pillow with a little bounce and a lot of smoosh. He put it up against his cheek and breathed in the cool, soft fabric. Hugging the pillow, he walked down one of the cars, past the seating area where a few people sat playing solitaire or reading books. At the end of the compartment, there was a little alcove. In that alcove was a large closet filled with pajamas. Every kind of pajamas imaginable. There were flannels, cottons, big and small, even footy pajamas he used to wear as a child. He picked out a red flannel set and a fine fleece robe to go on top. They were the softest, most comfortable thing he'd ever worn. Jake yawned. This was something out of a dream, he thought sleepily. That reminded him he needed to find a sleeper car to get some rest. In the next car down, he found the sleeping compartments. He gently tugged on the handle of the first one to see if anyone was inside. The door slid open just a crack. Inside was a man, about his age, sleeping on the top bunk. The man looked peaceful, but the window was another story entirely. Jake blinked. He didn't believe his eyes. Through the window, he saw the same man running through a sunlit field with a dog, laughing with joy. That couldn't be possible, Jake thought. It was nighttime outside, and this man was asleep on the bunk, right here. How was he seeing this in the window? He wondered. The sleeping man laughed quietly. At the same time, so did the man in the window. And then Jake understood. The man was dreaming, and Jake was somehow seeing his dream out the night train window. What a lovely dream, he thought, clicking the door shut and leaving the man to his slumber. At the next door, Jake paused before sliding open the door an inch. Inside, a woman slept on the bottom bunk. She too seemed peaceful. In the window, she sat in a boat in a lake, the water gently lapping at the wooden sides. A family of ducks swam lazily past. He shut the door, smiling. He moved on to the third compartment. When he opened the door a hair, he was relieved to find it empty. This one was for him. Next to the bed, there was a little dish with a tiny, perfectly wrapped candy. A little sign next to it read, "Chocolate for your pillow. Sweet dreams." He unwrapped the delicate foil and put the chocolate in his mouth. It melted, sweet but not too sweet, just right. He put his cocoa cup down on the bedside table and yawned again. He didn't know where the train was going, but that was okay. Going somewhere wasn't the purpose of this train. This was the night train. It wasn't about the destination, but the journey and the peace of mind it created. Tucking his feet into the covers, he wondered what someone might see in his window once he was fast asleep. He felt his back relax, his shoulders loosen, all his muscles unwind softly into the crisp sheets. What they might see in the window was a man, slightly unbalanced in a large backpack, but having fun all the same, ambling across a gentle landscape, over sun-dappled hills, to find a cozy place for supper after a long day on the trail. It was a good dream, and the train rocked gently back and forth, following its tracks into the night.